Hello out there and welcome to another stellar episode of the Rocker Dog Podcast, the show that talks to musicians about their dogs and the invaluable contributions these creatures add to their lives. I'm your host, Tim Dill, along with my chicken nugget colored dog, Charlie, and today we are happy to share a great conversation with Rye Thomas, who spearheads the Washington, D.C. based band Soft Punch, whose latest release, Above Water, on Bad Friends Records, was made in the midst of Rye battling a debilitating illness, as you'll soon hear. And this is his sweet, reliable, and a little elevated rocker dog.
Mole is the dog. He is kind of a pit bull mix, and he's almost 11. We adopted him just under a year ago, and we know who the previous owner was, who had him for 2 years, but before that, like, we have no idea where he was. So he could have very well been a street dog for all we know, you know, in DC. But he's with us now, and he's been a great dog to have.
Now, the name, I assume, came with him, seeing he is an older dog.
Yes. We decided to just stick with the name.
I like the name. It's a very original.
Yeah, I don't know any other dogs named Mole.
Do you have any idea where the previous owner came up with that? Or did you even have a rapport with the previous owner?
Oh, we never met them. They got rid of the dog. They had an incident with the dog. But when we got the dog, I should say when the shelter got the dog, and this was the Animal Welfare League of Arlington, they found that he had, unsurprisingly, arthritis and put him on meds for arthritis, which he's on now. But like when he got there, he was like sad and grumpy and not a dog you wanted to be around. So it was unsurprising that they had had an incident with the dog. But once they got him on meds, he was like a totally new dog. You know, as soon as he had that pain treated, because, you know, pain makes you mean sometimes, like,
yes,
human or dog. So once that was under control, I mean, he's extremely tolerant of, you know, you can just do whatever you want to him most of the time, and he doesn't even react hardly. So very sweet, very chill, and not in the remotest sense aggressive. So
yeah,
we get along with him really well. And yeah, we never met the previous owner or anything like that, but, you know, we figured he's had a long life. We'll stick with whatever name he kind of sort of knows currently. So
what were the circumstances around getting an older dog? And I have to commend you on, you know, getting an older dog, because I do some volunteer work at the shelter, and that's always a struggle. Puppies always go first. Older dogs always go last.
Well, you know, for me, I have like a disability. You know, I have myalgic encephalomyelitis. I can't do a lot. I can't really take the dog for walk. Brendan, my boyfriend, walks the dog before he goes to work and when he gets home from work. But yeah, I can't like do a lot, like, physically. Like, I'm limited in terms of how much I can do. I don't really leave the house. So I wanted a dog that would just be calm and hang out with me, like, on the couch most of the day. And we I think, you know, I don't know the group that tweets, but somehow Mole's bio or whatever got tweeted, and Brendan saw it, and we're like, I think we want that dog. You know, we had had a previous dog named Dexter that we had gotten as a puppy, and he lived to be like eight-ish, I think, eight, and got mysteriously ill and passed away. And, you know, we are dog people, and we missed having a dog, but both in terms of money and in terms of like my health and stuff, we didn't feel right getting a new dog. We didn't feel like we could like train a new dog. And so we went a while before we considered adopting one. And then when we had sort of just been talking about, you know, we could get an older dog, like, if we don't have to do all of the training, if they can be relaxed and whatever, we could get an older dog, and then, you know, he could hang out with me during the day. That would be nice. And the bio that got tweeted or whatever, retweeted on Twitter, described Mole as, if he were an ice cream flavor, he would be coffee ice cream. He's
I'm sweet, sold right there.
Right. He's sweet, reliable, and a little elevated, or something to that effect. And that was actually the Foster owner had written that little bit blurb about. Right. Mullen. And we were like, that's just perfect. He just sounds right. And so without doing any other, we didn't like shop around for other dogs or anything. We just were like, I think we're going to adopt that one. And then, you know, met Mole and we're like, yeah, this is going to work. And then, you know, he's just been what we were looking for, which is pretty relaxed, chill dog who hangs out on the couch most of the day, likes to nap, likes to snuggle, actually very cuddly, more so than I've ever known any other dog to be. But I guess that's not uncommon for pit bulls.
Exactly. It's funny because they get such a bad rap, but they are really the most loving breed out there. They really are.
And apparently this is also a pit bull thing. He likes to just like gaze lovingly. You know, that's like a thing that he does, just like kind of stare at you like, love you. One of his things.
You never get tired of that.
It's pretty sweet.
It's funny that, again, I have a graphic design background, so some of the volunteering work I do at the shelter is the flyers that they put up on social media. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we will have something that says the dog loves to chill and watch TV. It's funny that Mole didn't have that. That's where I thought you were going with that, with your story. Like, oh, we saw that he had this, you know, this post that said he just likes to chill. But, you know, he had the, you know, like you said, he had the coffee ice cream analogy.
Perfect. It was like just what we needed, you know. It was like, it was hard. It's hard to explain how it's like you just like, you know, you just sometimes read something and you're like, oh, you know, it's like not like I could have said, well, I need a dog who's like coffee ice cream. That would never have occurred to me. But like reading that description was like, oh no, I think that's what we need. Like it just like sounded right, and then it turned out to be like a spot on description of the dog and his personality. So it worked out.
Okay. Well, I was informed a little bit about your disability. Can you tell me a little bit more about it? Like how long have you had it? You know, what does it limit? What are your limitations?
So I unknowingly acquired it in like January of 2013 when I was still working at the Washington Post. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. I just like my ability to do things kept decreasing, and I kept seeing lots of specialists and nobody knew what was going on. It took about 5 years to figure out that I had myalgic encephalomyelitis, also known as chronic fatigue syndrome. And shortly after figuring out what I had, you know, like I guess from 2013 to like 2016, I went from working full time to part time to like a few hours a week to like not working. So it was like kind of a gradual decline in terms of how much I could do. And then in like December of 2017, my health kind of went off a cliff and I couldn't handle any light. I was like in the dark, couldn't handle any like sound, and was just in bed like all day. The only thing I could do was for about like 20 to 30 minutes a day, I managed to like get up and kind of play a little bit of music on a keyboard, mm-hmm. which I still don't really understand how I could do, but I could. Like I couldn't, and I had like a little 4-track cassette recorder that I would record into, but I couldn't even play it back because I couldn't, like listening to music was like too painful for me to do. So, you know, I got very sick there and like kind of very, very slowly have gotten to where I am now, which is, you know, I'm homebound. I can't really go out, but you know, I can like spend a little bit of time working on music. I can watch a little bit of TV, but not on a big screen because it's like too much light. It messes with my head. It can trigger a migraine. And yeah, so I can work on some music. I have a Patreon that I try to do regularly where I write about things, share unreleased music and interview other people and share those interviews and write about things. So, you know, that's when I'm not focusing on an album release. That's, you know, my other creative outlet right there.
Okay. Now, as we speak, I think you have a listening party in 3 days.
I mean, it's actually tomorrow.
Okay. I thought I had the 15th.
Well, the 15th is the release date of the album.
Okay. Okay. So the listening party versus the release date.
Yes. Yeah, we have the record coming out on Friday. That
okay.
Long time coming. So
okay. I was just going to mention this will be out, you know, people that are listening to this live in the future will be November, but I want to give due diligence to the new album and ask, you know, I can only assume that with all that's going on in your life, that's heavily informed the new material.
Yes, somewhat. You know, because all I could do during like 2018 and then more or less somewhat during 2019, 2020, I was still mostly bedbound. You know, one of the only things I could do, I couldn't even look at a phone screen for like all of 2018. All I could do was like play music and write. So that's all I did was like a little bit of that every day. So I, you know, kind of developed a lot of songs. And so when I started improving enough to where I could like actually record things and do things the way I wanted, you know, I had a lot of material. You know, a lot of that material had been written while I was very ill. So yeah, some of the songs do address somewhat getting through life while dealing with illness. And a lot of them were written during a time when I was extremely limited and very ill.
Right. Now, I noticed in your video, My Head, that Mole is, you know, makes a nice guest appearance.
He does. He does. That was fun. You know, he's fairly photogenic. So
yeah.
It worked out. He's in the video a couple times, actually.
Now, does he inspire anything creatively, you know, no matter how abstract?
I think I did sample the sound of him eating his food and like worked that sample somewhere into a part of one song.
okay. We gotta find
some,
that.
Actually had some samples of my previous dog too, Dexter, that come up in the first track on the album. You can hear some of him like kind of walking around. So yeah, so the dogs did like literally make their way into the music.
Good to hear. And also I noticed the cover art, I guess it's by an artist that goes by Boar Boy.
Yeah, he was like someone that I followed on like Tumblr back years ago and started making art. And I think he's just a very unique artist. And I asked him if he'd do the album cover and was super excited that, you know, he said yes. And it is indeed two dogs. He tends to work with a lot of like cats and dogs show up a lot in his work. I didn't specifically ask for the dogs though, but that was just like a fun bonus.
Okay. I was going to ask that. Was he given creative liberty to kind of, I think I read that you gave him a couple of demos or a couple of tracks to kind of inspire him.
Yeah. I guess this would have been August of last year when we were talking. And at that point, I think I had, you know, some rough mixes of some of the songs that would end up on the record. And I sent him those tracks and, you know, I told him, you know, these are some of the, like, I went through like his work and was like, you know, these particular pictures that you've done or these paintings that you've done in the past, I've really enjoyed. And I'd just love it if you'd like listen to the music and do whatever feels right. I think I maybe suggested a few colors that were really, I think, relevant to me at the time. But again, he mostly just put on the music and did what he does, which is he actually, I guess he uses Photoshop, but he doesn't really use layers. He just paints on top, like,
right. Okay, yeah.
Puts everything on top of it, like you would an actual painting.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It's quite a unique and eye-catching cover. And when I immediately saw it, I was like, okay, I see the dogs. I see the kind of the, you know, what I like about it is, are they leaning on each other? Are they wrestling? There is some interpretation that I think the viewer can kind of take away on their own. So it is very...
One of them has on pants and the other doesn't. So
yes, yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, however you want to interpret that. You
yeah,
know, please,
no, I
please
like
do.
I like the space for the ambiguity.
Yeah. Well, good luck with the record. I gave it a listen this morning and I enjoyed it very much. So hopefully by the time, again, this podcast comes out, it'll always already be out there and enjoyed by many. So.
And I'm sure it will still be available for any of your listeners to enjoy.
Yes.
Now that they're listening to hear about it.
Yes. Let's get into Dexter a little bit. You know, I read on some of your posts that he was, quote unquote, a constant companion since your illness. So when you spoke about your illness coming in 2013, what was his reaction to it?
You know, like, he knew me before I got sick, and there were definitely times when I would be like, I remember sometimes when I was like really bedbound and kind of essentially paralyzed in bed, like just couldn't move, where he like jumped up onto the bed and like tried to nudge me off of the bed, because he was like, you know, what, like he could tell something was wrong, obviously, and was trying to help. But he was especially there, you know, I mentioned 2018 being like when my health just fell off that cliff, you know, like Dexter was around and was there to keep me company when, you know, I couldn't really handle much human contact even at that particular time. So, yeah, no, he was a witness to and, you know, a companion during the worst of it. So he was like pretty important to me.
Yeah. I mean, to a lesser degree, I had a slipped disc in my back, or, you know, herniated disc, that I was pretty much laid up for like a month. And my dog, it was great, because what you want is you kind of want a little bit of sympathy and companionship, but you don't want to necessarily have to hear about it or have somebody say, are you okay? What can I do for you? That's all fine and good. You know, a partner companion can do that on occasion, but I just found that just kind of the quiet companionship of a dog was invaluable in that presence. Time. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like someone being present, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So that's, yeah, I find that pretty valuable too. Like, it's just, and like I said, like even just having like the witness, like it's just an animal who's seeing it. It's not like he's going to write a report about it or something, but it's like, you feel like, at least I felt like a little less crazy sometimes, just like knowing that the dog had seen how ill I was, you know, knowing like it's not just happening in front of no one.
Yeah. You had a very sweet post. I often go to this whole emotional support conversation, but you had a really sweet post that said, if you got sad, you'd go see Dexter. And if he heard you being sad, he'd come find you and lick your face.
That's true. I do remember just like getting really frustrated one day, and I think I was actually in the bath, and he heard me and came into the bathroom and just like came over and started licking my face, and it was very sweet and very, you know, touching at the time, because he just heard me in distress and was like, oh, I'm gonna come help you, you know, like,
yeah.
It's nice to have a dog that would do that. I don't think Mole would do that. he's just not that kind of a dog, you know?
Yeah.
But that's okay. I don't necessarily need that right now. So it's like, it's all right.
Well, I think the origins of Dexter probably go back to like 2010, 2009.
Yeah,
What was kind of the circumstances around getting him at the time?
Well, Brennan, who is my boyfriend, I guess we had only kind of just, so Brennan was my bandmate first, actually, and then we started dating after we had been in a band together for a little over a year, and he decided to get a dog, and found Dexter, who was very much a match in terms of personality, just like a dog who loved. Dexter was like the kind of dog who just loves everyone, and every other dog is his best friend. Like, he wants to go hang out with that dog. And like, it could be just a ferocious animal chained to, you know, a pole, who's like woofing and giving you the eyes of death. And Dexter would just be like, oh my God, a dog, we're friends. Let's go. Like, let's be friends. And you have to, no, that dog doesn't want to hang out with you, Dexter. So he was that kind of a dog, very big, goofy, kind of cartoonish almost of a dog, and really fit with, you know, Brendan is from New Orleans. My boyfriend, Brendan, he's from New Orleans, and he's the kind of guy that everyone gets along with. And like, he just gets along with everyone and has like, likes to have fun. And that's like just part of his personality. And so like when he got Dexter, it was almost kind of wild how similar their personalities were.
Right. Yeah. That's funny. Huh. Now, I also read you were kind of not into him at first because you thought it might compromise the band, it might compromise touring.
I had really wanted to do some more extended touring with Brendan, and I was like, well, now having, you know, a dog is going to make that so much harder, you know. But it wasn't an issue because we were never able to organize super long tours to begin with, and then mostly for work related reasons, and then the tours that we did go on, we always found someone to take care of Dexter, or you know, a place to keep him for a while.
Mm-hmm. Did you immediately take to Dexter? I know you said he's a very friendly dog, but just
it's hard I guess... not to, you know. Okay. I mean, like I've grown up with dogs, and so, you know, I do love dogs. I was like mad that we had gotten one, but like it didn't take long before it would be hard to imagine not having him, you know.
Right.
Pretty quick transition.
Yeah. At one point later on, I have this in 2020, you said, I miss my dog and I miss my health. So it's.
Yeah, it was rough, like losing Dexter. And then I was alone a lot, you know, during the day. And so there were some lonesome times without, you know, with before we got Mole, and after Dexter was gone, there were some definite, you know, lonesome times with no woofs in the background.
That's just our sponsor, Amazon Prime, coming to the door.
Most likely. Okay.
Speaking of training, and do any either of your dogs, were they trained? Did you train them? Were they good dogs in that
Mole
aspect?
Mole came pretty well trained, which was great. Dexter, you know, we got him when he was still a puppy, so Brendan had to. I mean, we had to kind of train him somewhat. I don't think we ever trained him as well as I would have liked. Because he was just a very enthusiastic greeter, more so than I would have liked for him to have been. But it was hard because, as you've talked about on other podcasts, you know, you have to train yourself before you can train the dog.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Brendan just loved being enthusiastically greeted by Dexter so much that, you know, it was really hard for him. The appropriate thing to do would be to turn your back when he gets... Yeah. Really yeah. excited to see you when you come home, but that's just so contrary to, like, Brendan wanted a dog to come excitedly yeah. greet him, so it was, you know, it was hard to train that out of him, but it's part of his charm too, you know.
Yeah, to this day I still have that issue. I never trained that out of my dog. I come in and I'm like, all right, let's have it, let me have the grand welcome.
It's hard.
I so deserve.
You want, it feels good. But then you feel bad when someone else comes over to the house and doesn't necessarily want the same grand welcome.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to turn your back on that kind of love.
Yeah. Now, you did mention you grew up with dogs. Is there any dog in particular you bonded with?
The first dog we got, we literally found on the side of the road. It was a total mutt that we named Nutmeg because she had a nutmeg colored patch on the side of her fur. When we found her on the side of the road, she was just a little ball of fur. And this was, I guess, my dad was a real estate appraiser at the time. And I think we were just like kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and there's the dog, and we're, you know, can we keep her? And yeah. did. And she lived to be like, oh gosh, pretty old, like 16 or something. You know, I had that dog. I think I was probably 4 or 5 when we got that dog. So I had Nutmeg in my life for all of my youth. And then my parents got a bull mastiff named Buckeye. And I can't remember if that was before or after I left for college. I think it was shortly before. But Buckeye was great. And he lived to be like 10, which is pretty good for a bull mastiff.
Yeah.
And they've had... I think 2 bull mastiffs since then, who are also great dogs. But Buckeye was the one that, you know, we really bonded with. For example, I remember he got really sick and we thought we were going to have to put him down. So I like came home from school for a weekend. And when I got home, he like wagged and licked my hand, which he hadn't wagged or licked anyone's hand for a while because he had been so sick. And then over the course of that weekend, he recovered enough so that when they took him into the vet on that Monday morning to put him down, they're like, whoa, we don't have to put him down. I don't think he's doing better now. And so that was one of those like wild moments where it's like, I'm not saying that I saved the dog, but you know, feeling of like you come home and the dog gets a little lift, his spirits lifted and he improved. And yeah, so I was definitely pretty attached to that dog. And obviously, once you get attached to a bull mastiff, no dogs seem big anymore. Like,
How did they
no
end
such
up?
Thing as a big dog anymore to me.
Yeah. How did they originally go with a bull mastiff at that time?
They were just looking at the traits of different breeds, and they're like, this dog should be not too high energy and loyal and doesn't generally bite. You know, they were bred to like knock over poachers and hold them down. So that's the thing they do. And that, you know, I would definitely wrestle with that dog, like seriously wrestle with that, because it was like equal strength kind of a situation. Yeah. It was pretty fun. When I was in like college, so it was the right age to be doing that. But yeah, he was just a sweetheart who was totally what they wanted, which was, you know, like he wasn't crazy or anything like that. You know, he was pretty chill and very loyal and he loved my dad the most. You know, he would always kind of stay near my dad.
Yeah. Well, let's get into the zoomies. That's the last five quick questions. Mm-hmm. The first question, the most hard hitting, is do you kiss Mole on the mouth?
Not on the mouth. He doesn't even lick. He rarely gives kisses to begin with. Right. So I might give him a kiss on the snout.
Okay. Fair enough. I get that a lot. Question two, does he have a theme song?
You know, that's a good question. Maybe Midnight in a Perfect World by like DJ Shadow, like something that's got that like real chill kind of hip hop kind of vibe, I think would suit him.
Okay. I must admit I'm not familiar with that song, but I always go back and then listen to it and look at a picture of your dog and put it all together.
Sure, yeah. Introducing by DJ Shadow, great record. You'll instrumental hip hop record, really good stuff.
Great. Question three is, I know he doesn't tour with you. I know you don't tour much anymore, but if he was to go out on tour, what would he insist be on the rider?
Well, it's funny because he doesn't really care much about toys, so it wouldn't really be toys. Either naps or scritches, really. You know, he has to get an adequate number of scritches, probably would have to be on the rider.
All right. Question four is, do you use a dog voice to speak to him?
I don't use a dog voice to speak to him, really, but we do have a voice for him.
Okay.
You know, we have like his voice, definitely. And we had one for Dexter, too, which was a little goofier. But Mole's voice is a little more restrained, but, you know, still dopey at certain times.
Right. Question five, is there a dog organization or service you'd like to give a shout out to?
Sure. The Animal Welfare League of Arlington, where we got Mole, was really great to work with. So super recommend them. And then Brooklyn Dog Walkers, or Brookland, which is the neighborhood near us.
Okay.
Land Dog Walkers have been a really fantastic service to work with in terms of getting them walks.
That's great. Well, Rye, thank you for taking the time and taking me through your dogs. It was a pleasure to hear about Mole and Dexter. And I know you're on the cusp of releasing new music, so best luck with that. And I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure to talk about dogs. And I listened to your Rufus Wainwright interview earlier today and really enjoyed it.
Oh, thanks. What's the best way to reach you, just to keep on top of what you're doing, where you're at, and what you're releasing? Is that just your socials or the Bandcamp?
Softpunchmusic.com is the easiest thing to say, I guess. I try to stay on top of Instagram, not so much Twitter anymore now that it's X. Definitely music will always go up on Bandcamp, so softpunchmusic.bandcamp.com or just softpunchmusic.com, and you can click the music button, or you can follow me on Patreon, and if you subscribe, you can hear a bunch of different demos and read about where the songs come from, a lot of behind the scenes stuff from the record, and a lot of stuff about how the process works for songwriting, and then interviews with other musicians and collaborations with other musicians, and kind of, you know, we get into a lot of how music works and how songs work and where they come from. So that's patreon.com/RyeThomas.
Okay.
You can follow me for free and get sort of updates. And then, if you subscribe for $3 or $9, then you get access to a whole bunch of content.
That's great. Sounds great. Will there be vinyl?
Yes, the record is coming out on vinyl. I have not received the vinyl yet. It should be here any day now, but I'm very excited. It's I think half of it is on like dark pink vinyl and the other half is like Coke bottle clear.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, I'll let you go and thank you again and best of luck always.
All right. Thanks a lot. Yeah, this was great.
Thank you.